Good? All right, so good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Let's try that again. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Ah, perfect. I did not get to introduce myself to you yesterday in the keynote, so I'll do that now. My name is Donovan Brown. I am a senior DevOps program manager at Microsoft. I am responsible for the entire DevOps vision on top of Team Foundation Server and on top of Visual Studio Team Services. I think the reason I got this role is because before I joined Microsoft, I was a process consultant. It's a fancy way of saying I flew all over the world installing and implementing Team Foundation Server. I'm also a certified Scrum Master. I'm a huge Agilist. I mean, I will talk your ear off about process. And what I would do is I would stay on staff with these customers, and I'd help them come into the Agile world using Team Foundation Server. I then was recruited by Microsoft to come and join the sales team, so I basically started selling TFS until I got the attention of the product group. And they're like, nope, you're coming with us, and you're going to help us shape the DevOps vision that we have here at Microsoft. So that's my story and why I'm standing here talking in front of you today. As you can see on there, I'm a big fan of Twitter. I use it very effectively to try to communicate with our customers, to engage you and make sure that I can help you when you have a roadblock. So I encourage you to follow me on Twitter. It's a neat resource because sometimes you'll ask me a question, and before I can get to you, my followers have actually already answered you. So it's a really good way to get your questions answered. They'll point you to blog posts, they'll point you to my blog post, but we'll get you going really quickly. And I've actually pulled other product members into our conversation to get you resolved as quickly as possible. I'm quite competitive. The only reason I put those two things on there is because I bring that competitive nature with me to work every single day. I want to crush our competition. You have no idea how excited I get when I know that I can actually crush our competition. I'm just hyper competitive. So I install their products. I see what makes their products good so that our products can be great. It's all a competition to me. That's why I play air hockey so ridiculously, 11th in the world at one point. I race cars. It's all about being competitive. So I bring that to work with me too. I'm really happy to have with me today my buddy, and he's going to be our demo guy today, so give sacrifices to the demo gods for you in a moment here, but I have Joshua with me from the Hockey App team.
So I'm Joshua Weber. I'm a senior program manager on the Hockey App team. Like Donovan, I've always been a really heavy kind of agile guy doing the Agilista kind of movement, and I always saw basically DevOps as just kind of the next evolution of agile, really moving it into the fuller part of the pipeline that people were doing already, but maybe didn't talk about as much. As for some fun stuff, being on the Hockey App team, I was really excited to join Hockey App when I first joined because I thought it maybe had some other fans of hockey. Turns out I'm the only fan of hockey on the Hockey App team, and I'm a huge fan. You'll actually see I'm a big Red Wings fan, and I have a little bit of a picture there, so I was hoping the audience would go, ah, oh, it's really nice. So I did play for maybe 14, 15 years. As I was growing up, so
quite very cool. Awesome. So a lot of you said when I started earlier, why are you here? And most of you are simply here to learn more about DevOps. And this is a good session for you to have. We're going to leave a lot of time for Q&A at the end. Again, I blog all the time at donovanbrown.com. It's pretty much all about DevOps and technology. Been slinging code for 20 years, and it's still what I do every single day. But DevOps, to us at Microsoft, is this. DevOps is the union of people, process and products to enable continuous delivery of value to our end users. I was on two panels yesterday. One of them was for mobile DevOps, the other one was about JavaScript, but the definition was true regardless of what technology I'm talking about. I preached this yesterday, any language, any platform. And this is true for any language targeting any platform, be it mobile, be it Node.js, front end, back end, I do not care. It is about delivering value continuously to our end users. What we're going to do today is we're going to show you mobile. And I think mobile's a great example. If we can do it here, we can probably do it anywhere. Because I think mobile has very unique challenges that make it very difficult to do effectively. And we have a very unique offering here at Microsoft that allows us to do this very well, even for what I believe to be the most complicated type of development we do today, which is mobile development. So you look at what we're doing today and you're like, man, this will be really easy on a web app, or this will be really easy on the stuff that I do if you guys can do it with mobile as well. So is there anything else you wanted to add to that?
No, I mean, I always really like the process and people, right? Like, I think that we tend to think a little bit too much at times about the tooling. And in reality, we're all organizations, we all work with other people. Being able to deliver value to our customers as fast as possible really requires us to think about that process and think about the people involved to really get that that system down.
Yeah, and I always joke that I think people should be bold, flashing, and making a sound because that is the hardest part of this definition to fix. Jeffrey Snover has been quoted as saying, success is the biggest deterrent to adopting DevOps. And what he means by that is, if I've gotten successful without this, why would I need to change the way that I'm doing things? If I've become the biggest retail company in the world doing it the old-fashioned way, why do I need to change what I'm doing? I'm number one. The reason you need to change what you're doing is because your competition is doing it differently. And right now, they're a speck in your rearview mirror. You couldn't care less about those people. And I'm usually that speck on the freeway. I ride a motorcycle. I ride it really, really fast. And at one point, I'm a speck. But by the time I pass you, I'm going so fast, you will never catch me. And that's what your competition's doing right now. They're a speck in your rearview mirror, doing the things that we preach. And by the time they pass you, you're going to be wondering, how in the hell do we catch up with Amazon? Right? But we were number one. You were number one. Right? You're going to sit there in your yellow cab, happy as pig and you know what, until Uber passes you. You're going to be like, holy crap, how in the hell do we catch up with them? It's too late. And you start playing catch up because you, the people, were either too arrogant, too stubborn, or too naive to think that we needed to change the way that we do things today. So what we do as members of the product group is try to convince you by giving you the best products in the world. Products that are so evidently going to make your life easier that it's really easy to convince the people to use the tools. Because the process, that's the easiest part of this definition. We already know how to do this. But we've got to convince you that you need to do this and then give you the tools and the products that are going to enable that for you. And we're going to show you some of those here today. So what makes DevOps? It is a pipeline. When I'm trying to implement DevOps, my number one goal is to get as many people out of my way as I possibly can. So much so that people have started to think that DevOps equals automation and automation only, and it does not. It's so much more than that. It's the idea. And remember, the first definition said the word value. Value is a key word there. DevOps is not about copying files to a server. It is about delivering value to our end users constantly. Could I deliver value without changing my application? The answer is yes, absolutely. I could change my infrastructure, right? I could change a process that makes us a little bit more faster. I could be better at Agile, none of which changes my application, but allows me to deliver value continuously to my end users. So value is really, really key there. And to do that, I need better planning, I need better tooling, I need a better process, I need automation, I need a lot of things, not just one of these things. And what we're going to do here is we're going to talk about this entire pipeline throughout this session, and how tools like Team Foundation Server and Visual Studio Team Services give you all of this. Now, a lot of you, some people leave my sessions upset because they're like, I didn't know Microsoft could do all this, and I just spent 2 years building this crap myself, right? So I apologize that we haven't done a better job marketing the fact that you didn't have to do that on your own, and we actually have everything that you need to turn an idea into a working piece of software. And what we can really do, and I would encourage you to do, is not throw away what you have today. It's the new Microsoft. We work really well with probably everything that you already have. What I would do is find the one part that hurts the most, and then let us help you there. And then hopefully you'll grow into our tool set, but you don't have to. If you're starting from scratch, I would use all of it, right? Until it doesn't work for you, and then you can grow up into something else. But this is what we're going to talk about, streamlining your process, both for mobile or any applications, so that you can deliver value more continuously. My clicker is... Oh, sure, knock yourself out. All these slides will be available to you, right? So after this session, they should post the video so that people who weren't here and you want to share this with, and at the bottom will be a link for you to actually have download the slides we're using here too. So this has a lot more automation on it than I thought it did.
Yeah, I think I got a little bit
than you were used to. So that's fine. But one thing, I'll talk to you a little couple of these things. The repository is a good one. How many of you guys like Git? I hate it, right? And if you've ever seen me speak before, I'm not shy about it. I freaking hate Git, right? But we offer Git to people because it's just where everyone seems to go. If you like TFVC, simple check-in, check-out, great news is we got that too, right? We're one of the only vendors that I know of that offers you two different types of source control that is completely integrated into the rest of the system. If you like check-in, check-out, centralized version control, we have that. If you prefer distributed version control and going to the command line and getting dizzy with all the commands you have to type, clone, rebase, stem, no one foot, branch everything, then we got Git for you too. Right, so you guys can do that. And all the tools you use with Git today, those will work with our Git as well. It's not some special Microsoft version of Git. It is the Git you know and love on GitHub. It's just now available to you with unlimited private repos. If you are paying for repos, you are wasting money. We will give you as many as you want for free. Okay? So, and moving them is really, really easy. Right? You simply clone it, set a new remote, push it, and now you're getting free repos, right? So really think about that. If you're paying for stuff like that, you don't have to. Our build system is completely new. Who's using our 2013 build system? XAML based. I am so sorry. Take my deepest condolences for using our old build system. It was good if you did .NET only, right? If you did just plain vanilla .NET, it was freaking awesome. If you did anything else, and I mean anything else, it was a nightmare. And as a consultant, I loved it. I made tons and tons of money off that build system because you had to hire me to come and fix it for you, right? So all that money is gone. Our new build system, I am a huge fan of our new build system. It is extremely, extremely flexible. On stage yesterday, you saw it building Maven. That would have been like rocket science in our old build system to get it to build something in Java. But now it is literally you drag on, I need to do Maven or Gradle or Ant, and it's done. It's so much easier. And extending it is extremely easy. It's an extremely powerful system. I've been quoted as saying, if I can do it from a command line, I can do it from our build system, and I can do it from our release system, and that is true as it's ever been. Anything that I want to do. Guy challenged me last night, and I tell everybody to do this. You want to challenge me? Go to Twitter, tweet at me what language you want. He did Delphi. I was like, dude, I've already done VB6. Are you serious? Delphi would be a piece of cake. Here's how I did VB6. He's like, holy crap, okay, I want to go try that. And he's all excited because he knows now anything that I can do from a command line, I can do from our system, and he knows he can do Delphi from a command line. Problem solved. For everyone standing up in the corner, we have plenty of seats on this side of the room, so if you prefer to sit down. What else are we talking about here? Automated testing, huge fan. We're going to talk about Xamarin Test Cloud today. We also can do a lot more than just mobile testing. We can do testing for Selenium if you want to do your UI testing, if you want to do load test, performance test, pen test. You want to do XUnit, MBUnit, JUnit, doesn't matter. You want to calculate code coverage. It is a new day for us at Microsoft. I have three laptops with me here at Ignite. One is a Mac, one is a PC, one is a Linux machine. That's how crazy it is to work at Microsoft now that I need all those devices because all of our stuff works everywhere. And our automation testing is no different. Engagement, we're going to talk about that through HockeyHap, how we're going to get feedback. Same thing with monitoring. And distribution is very unique for mobile, but we can help you deploy to any platform. I did it to Docker last night or in the keynote yesterday, and I literally have deployed to anything our customers have asked me to. So I talked about this a second ago, and I'm going to talk about it again. Again, this is for you, Lori, if you're listening. I had to make sure that we talk about Team Foundation Server. We have not forgotten about you. We still love Team Foundation Server. We're updating it every 3 weeks. It is literally the twin of Team Services. It is everything that you need to turn an idea into a working piece of software. Everything. What's cool is, if you insist on installing it yourself, and sometimes the regulations that require that, maybe you're in the military and you just don't trust a cloud yet, there's a number of reasons why it makes sense for you to have your own Team Foundation Server. You have that. Every 3 months, we give you an update. Every 3 months, you're getting new features, you're getting bug fixes, you're getting all this new value every 3 months from us. Now, if you can move at a cloud cadence and the cloud is not off limits for you, I highly recommend you using this twin brother, which this is a really old slide. Sorry, that's not Visual Studio Online anymore. It's now Visual Studio Team Services. It is everything except it's all in the cloud for you. There's no backing it up. There's no dealing with downtime. Every time you need to do an upgrade, everyone has to check in their code and get off the servers. None of that stuff happens anymore. There is a very high chance that when he brings up Visual Studio Team Services in his demo, it will look different than the last time he saw it because we simply are constantly delivering value. Right? So I always prep like an hour before the demo just to see if we've deployed something last night that I'm not going to recognize when I get into the tool. We update it that quickly for you. And there's no downtime for you, which is the benefit, okay? Everything you love about TFS with none of the stuff that you hate. So you're going to, another question? No, okay. So I think this is going to get into our first demo, or are we just going to talk about continuous integration? Yeah, just CI right now. How many of you guys are doing CI? CI is the place where I tell all of our customers to start. They're like, Donovan, we can't just stop what we're doing and go full DevOps overnight. I said, never suggested that you do, right? What you normally do is you find the thing that hurts the most, and you fix that first. But if you don't know where you want to start, start with continuous integration. Every single time a developer checks in code, that code needs to be compiled, it needs to be tested, and we immediately need to know it's either good or it's bad. The sooner you tell a developer that it's bad, the quicker it is for them to fix it. Anyone remember compact computers? That's where I started, right? So it shows my age a little bit. I started way back in a company that doesn't exist anymore, right? But when I did, they used to build our code every Friday, right? In one continuous build. So I would break code on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday. And not until Friday would they tell me that I screwed up. And now I have no idea which change it was that broke the build, and it takes me forever to go back in and fix that. But if I break the build at 9 o'clock, and at 9:02 the build tells me you broke the build, it's really easy for me to go back and say, oh, I know what I was just working on. Let me go fix that, and let's go ahead and move forward again as a unit. That's what continuous integration gives you. And with the testing, it makes sure that not only does it compile, but that it actually runs really well, and it runs successfully, and our teams are going to be able to go back in and do a lot of good value with it. So Highly encourage you to start using it. Our version control system, our build system will work with any version control system, Subversion, Bitbucket, GitHub, our own Git, TFVC. So you don't have to get out of whatever version control you're in today to start using our build system. In the past, it used to be this whole monolithic system. If you wanted to use any of it, you had to use all of it. That is no longer the case. Every vertical of Team Foundation Server and Visual Studio Team Services can be used in isolation. Oh, we love GitHub, so we're not getting out of GitHub no matter what you say. Fine. You can still use our build system, still use our work item tracking, still use our deployment system. We love Jenkins. We have a lot of money invested in Jenkins, a lot of history and experience invested in Jenkins. We're not leaving Jenkins. Fine. You don't have to leave Jenkins. We can still use it from our source control, and we can use it in our deployment pipeline. It's a way that we try to integrate so that you can take all the investments you've already made and leverage them going forward. Then hopefully you start to use our tools and realize, holy mackerel, just imagine how cool it would be if I used it all. And that's how we hope to get you to use more and more of our tool set. All right. I'm tired of talking, so hopefully we're getting next to a demo here.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right, so Josh is going to go off and show us some cool things about our CI system. Again, this is going to be focused a little bit more around a mobile application, but do not be alarmed. All of these things are true no matter what type of software you're using. And for everyone, one more time, in the back in the corner over here, there's more seats over here on the right-hand side. This whole room expands, so if you'd like to find a seat, feel free. And there's also some in the front. All right, off to you, buddy.
So I'm going to talk a little bit about the VSTS product. You can see here the kind of dashboard that's configured with a lot of the feature set. I'm going to gloss over most of this stuff because there's just a vast amount of stuff that VSTS does for you that's not too interesting. I actually did want to pause for a second because, unlike Donovan here, I actually love Git. I think it's fantastic. I love Git flow. I love the pull request model. I would say Git is the source control I was looking for my whole life back when my source control system was copy file folders and renaming them version 1, 2, 3, 4. So Git solved all of my problems, so I was a big fan. And we actually released some new pull request features inside of VSTS that I wanted to show off real quick. The idea here is it shows off your pull requests. This is very similar to the GitHub style, but there's a couple extra little features. Here you can see all of the commits that went into this thing. You can see a comment that somebody left here, including linking to task items. Because VSTS has all that integration, you can really link into other stuff. And the new feature that I actually like is that they have approvals here, where you can see that we've already had two people approve. So you can actually keep track of who's reviewed this and who's actually signed off on this pull request before you do the completion and the merge into your stuff. But going back to the real meat that we were talking about, we really want to talk about CI services here and really talking about the ability to set up a pipeline to build no matter what application type you have. And here we'll take a look. We'll actually just go ahead and dive into one of these examples here.
While you're doing that, the pull request, for those who are not Git users, a pull request is a way for you to basically solicit input on the changes that you've made before they get merged into the master branch. So they're isolated, they're just for you. People get to go and like basically have a conversation over it. If everyone agrees, then it gets merged into master and then goes down the pipeline he's about to build for you. So I just didn't want to assume everyone knows yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And to start off to show off this, before we go into the details of this specific build, I actually just wanted to click on this add build step and then just click on this all button. And this really gets to what Donovan was talking about, the fact that VSTS really supports this massive ecosystem of being able to build. No matter what you're trying to build or what tasks you're trying to accomplish as part of your pipeline, there's a good chance that it's already been basically added in. Even beyond this long list of tasks here that I have to show off, there's also a rich kind of marketplace where third-party vendors can go in. They can actually build extensions for this. There's new stuff basically coming all the time. We even take advantage of a lot of the extensions ourselves in this example.
And all these tasks that we wrote are actually in GitHub. So you can actually go see how we wrote them, and then you can write your own, which is how I learned how to do it. And then you can extend this even further beyond what's in the marketplace as well. So they're really easy to write. You can write them in PowerShell, or you can write them in Node.js, and then add your own functionality to this list as well.
And so we have here a sample Xamarin app. And we're going to build the Android flavor of the Xamarin app. And we actually, the majority of this actually comes from a template. So if you select into the new tasks, you choose a Xamarin Android app, it'll actually create most of these steps automatically for you. It's going to go ahead and use this NuGet installer task to actually automatically update your code repository. So it's going to clone down your repository into the build agent machine, and the NuGet's going to go ahead and fetch all of the dependencies that you have all automated for you. There's actually an interesting task here that we used that was the replace tokens task that I actually like because it actually goes in and modifies the code before build. And this is actually a pretty powerful technique for a lot of stuff. The common scenario here is I have different environments or different settings. In this case, we're actually replacing tokens with some special signing tokens that we're using. And by doing this, we can actually go into the app settings. You can update things like the version number. You can change the strings. If you're using like a SQL database, you can update the connection string for your SQL database. And when you go over here and take a look at the variables tab, you'll notice that you can set these variables for your build task. So if you want to change the version string, you want to change to a different environment, all you need to do is update the variables. They'll automatically be pulled in. And you can rewrite your source code for those config files. I really like the config as code. All of your configuration should be code inside your repo checked in. And this basically allows you to come in and automate this process to replace these configuration options dynamically for each individual build. In addition to here, you might notice that down here at the bottom, the token that we're replacing is actually the HockeyApp ID. And you'll notice that it's just dot, dot, dot. The idea here is that by clicking this little lock icon, you actually make this a secure token inside the variable system, which basically allows you to type it in one time and then be securely accessed. So one person can type that in, maybe the person who has those secret credentials. Other people can now make use of this build because you can share this build around, but they won't have access to the secrets that you've exposed, making it really powerful for the ability to control the secrets access while not getting in the way of your developers who might need to edit and change these build tasks.
It is not. It actually gets encrypted both at rest and in flight. And also, if you were to unlock it right now, it would just be blank, right? So the person who typed it in is the only person who knows what was in there. Good question.
And so coming back, we basically do the replace token to fix up that HockeyApp ID with that secure token. And then we just do the automatic build task. You'll notice that it's pretty simple to configure. You just set up your solution file. It automatically detects the solution file, finds the Android solution within that Xamarin solution, and builds it. Finally, it'll generate the APK. In this case, we just have a dev signed version, but you could also sign with real certificates. I'll show that in a little bit. And finally, it publishes this artifact to a repository store that exists within VSTS, making it very easy to reuse these artifacts in the future. I think I'll pass it back over to Donovan.
Okay. You would be using that in release management and not in build. That's how you would handle that. Good question. And that, I believe, comes from an extension from Colin, right? I think that replace token is actually an extension. Are we on the right screen?
I don't know. You want to click
here? Surface. I think we're having a technical. There was our AI guy. All right, AVI. I'm just going to start randomly pushing buttons now.
We'll go back to the 7.
Go back to. It's 5. You said 7? That's you.
Go back to the thing.
Okay. Which one is supposed to be the surface right here with my PowerPoint on it? That's what I thought too, but for some reason it is not. And it's not advancing my slides either.
Doesn't like that at all, does it?
It's because you're using a Mac, man. You screwed up everything.
We love the Mac.
No.
Mobile development.
No. I don't touch mine. It just does my builds for me. Do what I say, and I never touch it.
For mobile development.
You have the slides on yours too, right?
Yeah.
Well, he's figuring that out. Let's let you advance those for me. You're going to be my clicker now.
There you go.
All right, so now we need to switch it to where they see the presentation mode.
There you go.
All right, so this is where we're going to talk a little bit more specifically about mobile and some of the challenges there are. One of them is the number of devices you have to test for. It's scary. Right, the screen resolutions, the versions of the operating systems, it makes it very, very difficult to do. Just to get to any portion of this, it's a staggering amount of devices that you would have to acquire, which is just unrealistic. So Xamarin Test Cloud, partners like Perfecto Mobile, give you the ability to test on physical hardware in the cloud automatically without you having to try to provision those machines yourself. Right. So this is just one of the challenges. The other challenges is distribution. Right? How do you distribute your application to testers before it gets to the store so they can start giving you feedback, right? And without having to tether them and then being able to do it over the air, and we obviously have some nice technology that's going to allow us to do that as well. So the way that we can start testing this, if you go to the next slide there, is through our offering called Xamarin Test Cloud. This was demoed at Build as well, and this is where you're able to create automated testing, and then as part of your CI or your continuous deployment, upload those to the Xamarin Test Cloud with a configuration that says these are the devices that I want you to run these tests on, and then we will literally fire up those machines, install your application on those machines, and literally use your app on those machines. These are not simulators. These are not emulators. These are physical devices laying in a data center waiting to do your testing for you. And then you get this rich report back down into Team Services that says, hey, this is what your tests look like, if they passed or failed. And if something failed, you can actually go to the UI and drive into and look at the CPU utilization, what screen they were on, actually watch a video of the test being run so you can see exactly where it started to mess up and skip. So that we can actually use the Xamarin Test Cloud. One more announcement, guys. Plenty of seats still up here in the front in the center section for all those coming in the corner. If you'd like to find a seat, just get more comfortable. There's plenty of seats here in the center. And then after the Xamarin Test Cloud, we're actually going to have Joshua give you a demonstration of how cool this technology is. I'm a big fan of it because, again, I have a huge collection of phones because I never get rid of my old phones, but trying to even test on that handful that I have is a challenge. And having a service like this available to me to do all the testing for me really makes my life a lot easier. Continuously delivering value means you have to test what you're delivering. Otherwise, you're probably continuously delivering crap, right? You got to continuously deliver value. One more question before we get started. Good question. There is a trial that you can get, but you do pay for the minutes in which you're testing on those devices. Good question. Oh, I'm sorry. Good question. Yeah. The question was that is time in Test Cloud included with your MSDN? And you have to pay for the minutes that you're running on those devices. But there is a free trial, so everyone can go out there and create an account and at least play with it and make sure that it fits your needs before you do. Yeah. If I don't repeat the question, guys, please remind me so that we get it on the recording too. Go ahead.
So to show off the Xamarin Test Cloud stuff really quickly here, once again, I said that slide that I actually showed was from 2014. So I don't know if you guys are actually afraid of that slide, but it's not getting better. It's getting worse every year. So this is definitely a major problem, especially in the Android fragmentation stuff. To show off how easy it is to set up Test Cloud, once again, to show, I basically have a build task here where it's added one additional build task step. It's basically to run your UI tests on the Xamarin Test Cloud. So you go in here, you configure your API key, and it's going to run those, it's going to basically communicate with the Test Cloud backend and automate the execution of those tests automatically for you. Here you'll actually see that data comes back right into your VSTS build. And here you can see the test results where we have one failing test that's actually coming from our Test Cloud run. And you'll actually see that if you take a look here at the report, actually click there. Okay. Well, we'll actually show in the Xamarin Test Cloud product here. So this is the Test Cloud basically dashboard that shows you all of the flexibility of kind of the Test Cloud results and the full set of details. There's actually quite a bit of power in here. You'll notice that it shows you not only the number of the tests, but it also shows you how your app size is changing over time. It shows you memory usage, which can be quite compelling on some of the lower quality, cheaper devices. If we drill into a specific test run, you'll notice that it ran on a bunch of devices, in which case some of the devices failed and some of the passed. This really demonstrates kind of the common scenario that you end up when you're doing these types of testing on different devices, where maybe it works perfectly on your local device, but when you try to run it on some other device, something with a little more memory pressure, that you end up with failures. And so let's go ahead and take a look at one of these example failure cases. Here you'll actually see that this is an actual screenshot from the actual hardware that ran at every single step of your UI tests. So we can see here all of the different devices. Since this is iOS, it's actually testing a variety of OS and device form factors. And here we'll actually go down and see that the majority of our tests actually passed on this device. However, we did find that four of the tests did actually fail. And when we click into these, you'll actually be able to see the screenshot of what happened during the failure. You will be able to see the details. You'll be able to drill into the actual details of the device, understand what the characteristics of that device are. You'll be able to start to identify some common characteristics between these devices, like is it a resolution bug that's causing an issue? Is it a memory problem? Is it a specific operating system? Can be very insightful for understanding that. And once again, you do have really the full device log that captures like everything that happened on that device, including any failures that happened. For example, this looks like not an exception, but actually a timeout that occurred during the execution of the test. So I think we'll swap back.
I have a quick question actually for you. So if I have Xamarin already enabled there, then that crash report could actually be sent as part of that failure. Like all the telemetry I would normally get running my test would actually be sent during my test runs as well, right?
Yes, that should be.
All right, very cool. Continuous delivery is the next step beyond continuous integration. After I've built my package and I have this output that I'd like to send somewhere, it's time for me to start moving it down a pipeline so that I can get it into the hands of our users. But usually that pipeline has several different steps on it. You go from dev to QA, QA to stage, stage to prod, and then there's things that you want to do throughout that particular pipeline. You can go into the... So what we want to do is extend CI into CD. That's what you'll see a lot of us do, CI, CD. Now, continuous deployment and continuous delivery are not the same thing. Continuous deployment is going to one environment and a lot of small teams, and also a lot of very mature teams go directly to production on every single check-in. I don't encourage that for people who are new to this. You need to mature and grow up into that model. But if you are at the point to where every single check-in goes into production, you can use what we call continuous deployment. And you can do that directly from our CI system. It literally will take whatever it just built and deploy it into a web app, like a web app in Azure or to a Docker container, the instant that it's ready to go. And we could publish directly to a store if you're really that brave to do so. Some companies are. The rest of us go through stages where we want people to touch it and feel it and test it and give their approval upon it. And that's what we do continuous delivery, which is the difference between continuous delivery and continuous deployment. So when people say CD, sometimes I push back and I want to make sure, what are we talking about, deployment or delivery? Because the way that we do that is drastically different. Okay. So clearly with our distribution for a mobile application, things get a little bit more difficult. Because generally, to get a file app onto your phone, you have to go through the store to do so. Well, I obviously don't want to put beta software into the store, so how do I then get that software onto my testers' devices before it gets published to the store? And that's why we acquired HockeyApp almost 2 years ago now, I think, is because they had the technology that allowed us over the air to be able to deploy to any device we wanted to, alpha and beta bits, so that our testers could get their hands on it, start giving us feedback, crash reports, so that we could go back and make our app better before it finally ended up in the store. And what we're able to do is integrate HockeyApp with our release management product such that we can solicit those inputs, do additional automated testing, and get those approvals before we finally publish it to the store. And Joshua will be showing us some of that here in just a moment. Actually, he'll be doing that right now.
Yeah.
And if you guys didn't know this, the gentleman that walked on stage when we first started and said hello, that was one of the co-founders and creators of HockeyApp, Thomas. I think he's doing some sessions here this week, too. So you can actually go and meet him. Is he still in the room? No, he's not. Okay, but yeah, so we are really happy to get that team. They've done amazing things now there with us here at Microsoft.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about that change from CI to CD. Like Donovan said, I guess I'm a little bit competitive. I really like to basically say that if it's not in the hands of your customers, you haven't delivered anything. Like, maybe to the consternation of my dev team, basically. You haven't done any work unless customers have it, unless people have it on their devices. And for mobile, that's really painful. Because there are a lot of steps to do that. And so HockeyApp provides a solution where you can change this continuous delivery where you can automate the entire process, even the process of going down to the actual hardware device in itself. And so here you can actually see that I set up a little bit of a system here. This is iOS. It does demonstrate a couple of those advanced features that I was talking about. You'll notice that I actually encrypted my signing key file and checked that into the repository. Since this is a private repository with an encrypted file, we felt pretty confident in the security of keeping our key file checked into the repository. But basically, I'm able to use the VSTS system to decrypt that just on the agent alone so that only the agent will have access temporarily. In order to do the actual signing, because ultimately I want this to be a deployment to real devices, and I need to have a real signed app in order to accomplish that. In addition to that, I'm also doing a little bit of a reversioning of this stuff. So dynamically, I'm going to pull the build number and fix up my plist file so that my newly created build has a nice build number so that I can differentiate between which builds I'm doing. Then I'm going to build my iOS solution. I'm going to copy it over. And as that last step, I'm going to automate the deployment directly to HockeyApp. So HockeyApp is basically a SaaS cloud-based offering that assists you with this deployment to different devices. And so through that process, you automate the upload of the IPA. Here we demonstrate something like the login of basically a VSTS pipeline, but distribution through HockeyApp can be as simple as just dragging and dropping your IPA onto the website and then clicking distribute and giving it an email address. And then I'm actually going to swap over to doing a bit of a demo here for the actual installation experience. So this demo is actually play along with the crowd. So if you guys have personal devices, you guys can actually follow along here with me. So let me go to my last page here. If you guys actually navigate in your web browsers to akams/ignite-demo-ios or ignite-demo-android, you'll actually be able to see. So I set this up to basically be a public distribution from HockeyApp. So there's no login or authentication. All you need to do is just go to the URL. So this shows off how easy it is to do this. This is really common with a lot of the HockeyApp customer base, where they might be distributing applications, say, through Twitter, where they're really big Twitter users. They just tweet out that they have a new beta available. They're happy with anybody who can use it. The more people, the better feedback that they get.
Hey, man, I got to point out, there's no Windows Phone link on there, man.
Yeah, it's a Windows Phone.
We didn't talk about this.
Yeah.
But there actually is. Xamarin will let you get to all three platforms, right, while he's setting that stuff up, right? Mm-hmm. It's not, I think it's claim the fame was allowing you to do iOS and Android with C Sharp, but Windows Phone is actually included there. The UWP framework allows you to get there too as well. So it might not be for this demo, but don't think that we can't get you to your Windows device too.
Definitely supported. I just ran out of time on the demo prep there. So if you notice, basically I navigated to that link and the installation experience is as simple as just clicking install. You'll notice that this automatically triggers the iOS process, and we can actually just go back, and you'll see the installation happening automatically.
This is awesome.
Oh, it's a sorry. Let me move your mouse.
Can you talk for a second, for those of us who are not familiar with Hockey App, just what's happening here? You're downloading a zip file, and then what's happening?
So Hockey App's actually automated all of this for you. So we actually pull into the native Safari API. Handlers and actually trigger the installation. So we do the download in the background and then trigger the installation through the iOS code. For Android, it's not quite as automated, so we actually download the APK, which should trigger a notification in your phone, which you then click open, which will trigger the installer for that APK to install onto your phone.
Right, because generally to get a beta version of your app to a device, you normally have to plug it into your device. You have to put it in some special, I'm in a developer mode, and at that point, directly from your IDE or your tool of choice, you can then force these bits on your machine. But what Hockey App's enabled us to do is literally everyone in this room, regardless if your phone is in debug mode or not, can now download and install this application, which is one of the things that makes Hockey App so appealing, is that now everyone, no matter where they are, they no longer have to be tethered to a device or do anything special to their device to be able to get those bits. And after it's been installed, they'll get a notification saying, hey, there's a new version, would you like to get it? And then instantly, from within the app, be able to download that new version of that application. And Hockey App does more than that, because it sounds like some people don't have a full understanding of what Hockey App is. Not only does it help with distribution, it also helps with crash analytics. If the app crashes, and I think we'll have some demonstrations it'll be able to capture a lot of the information about that crash, when it happened, what device it was on. A lot of the stuff that you saw inside of the test cloud, you can actually get that information off of real physical devices so that I can go back in and try to duplicate that and resolve that. And there's also custom telemetry to where I can say, hey, I added this new button, and I'm curious if people are going to find it and use it. I can put telemetry there that we can then collect and aggregate inside of Hockey App and be able to tell you, yep, 50% of the people who downloaded this new version are finding that new feature. We actually did a good job of delivering value. Because if only 3 people out of 1 million push it, we probably wasted our time on that, right? Or we need to do something to draw it, more information.
Users are installing Hockey App as a prerequisite.
Ah, good question. That's not necessary.
That's not necessary. So
yeah, good question.
The demonstration that I did was actually directly through the Safari browser. And so the Safari browser just loaded up the install page and done. I show off this icon on here to show that we, in addition to the web browser-based experience, we also have native app experiences. The native apps, I think, tend to be very useful for people who are frequently doing this because they make it much easier to scroll through historical versions. So if you're swapping very frequently, like a QA tester between, say, the latest build and maybe previous builds for doing regression testing or validation that bugs have been fixed, it's really easy through Hockey App to have access to not just like one app, but maybe the whole suite of apps and versions available to you. And the native apps tend to make that a little bit smoother than navigation through all the web pages.
Good? Mm-hmm. All right, perfect.
So I should mention that we are basically equivalent to sideloading. And so each of the platforms do have some restrictions on execution of an application. And so for iOS, even with an enterprise profile, you actually have to trust the certificate. So if anyone's having trouble here, if you just go to settings, general, and this moved recently, phone and device management, you'll notice that the certificate will be there and you simply trust it. That'll allow the application to execute on your phone.
So what does this app do?
So we'll take a look at the app. It's very, very simple. I just wrote this in kind of like a little bit of a demo prep last week. So we actually take a look at the welcome screen. If you tap, you'll be able to see the best car.
Nice.
And the interesting thing to note here is that all of these cars are Donovan's cars. So you can actually
all but one of them. I wonder if they can figure out which one isn't mine.
You can actually see one. You can see, oh, look at this nice Mercedes here. And you click,
it crashes when you pick Mercedes. That's awesome.
A little bit of a crash. So let's not worry about that. Like Donald was mentioning, we do automatically Hockey App collect all those crashes. So here you see that because of that crash, Hockey App has detected it, and in this case, in our default behavior, because of PII, we actually ask the user if they'd like to send that crash report. They can click Always Send to automatically trigger this, so this doesn't come up all the time. Here we'll go through the application. In this case, we'll pick something better, like this 97.
Yeah, that's my favorite one anyway.
And as I love hockey, we'll go through here and pick the best hockey team. Hopefully, you guys remember from my earlier slide what the correct answer
they didn't know they were going
to
be tested.
So this solution is. I'll give you guys a hint there on the correct answer. And then we'll actually go through. So the app's pretty simple. We'll show a little bit of the stuff in the background in a little bit.
Very cool.
So let's swap back to our slides here.
Yeah, I don't put that on my Who Am I slide that I'm obsessed with BMW, but it's a sickness. I mean, I am literally obsessed with that company.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
All right, so the question is the task in the list for versioning your assemblies custom or not?
Yes, so that's actually a third-party extension in the VS Marketplace. I believe it's called Collins ALM Tools. That version assembly is really nice because it allows you to do some regex expressions to match your build task and then extract out the build number and then do another regex match inside your file to replace it. So I use that to replace in the info.plist the bundle identifier.
That's also where the replace tokens came from, is also from Collins extension. So if you're inside Visual Studio Team Services and you go in the upper right-hand corner, there's a little like shopping cart looking thing or a little bag looking thing. If you click on that, you can start browsing the marketplace. Just literally type in Colin, and his extension will come up. It's free to install. If you're using Colin, if you're using Team Foundation Server on premise, you just click the download button instead, and then you can then upload it into your own on premise TFS and get access to all of the same tasks. So they work both on prem and in the cloud. It's just the installation is a little different, but the marketplace is full of amazing extensions from people like Redgate, and Veracode is another one who's actually in there that allows us to do some type of security testing against our application. So there's a lot of great vendors that have been creating, and actually at some point we should probably bring that up, right? Next time you're in VSTS, let's just click on the marketplace so they can see how you get to it and just a list of some of the things that you have available to you.
One more question?
Another question?
No.
Oh, right here. How do you handle deprovisioning of an application with HockeyApp if you no longer want it available in the wild?
You mean like revoking access? So it's really easy, actually. In the HockeyApp portal, you simply manage your application, and you can turn off access to those builds. So you can't trigger the removal of the application from the device, so the app will still be on there. So to get around that, HockeyApp also offers an optional feature through our SDK of authenticating the install as part of the startup process. And so what that's going to do is you trigger the authentication process as part of your startup process for the application. It's going to phone home back to HockeyApp and check to see, is this app available? And two, does this specific user have access to this app? So if you wanted to deprovision for a specific single user, you'd be able to deprovision access for that single user.
Oh, so cool.
There's some additional features there if you want to revoke access. Like I said, the app is still technically on the phone. It just won't execute anymore. There's actually that session that you mentioned with Thomas is actually talking about some of the MAM offerings from Intune, where if you need more secure security beyond just not having access to the phone, they'll talk about that as well.
Perfect. So we're going to switch over to release management. This is the product or the feature inside of Team Services that actually gives you the continuous integration. The continuous delivery that we were talking about. It allows you to do approvals. It allows you to build as long of a tool chain as you need to. Say again? Oh, all right. Shh. You're giving a presentation here, man. All right, so release management is the product that allows you to give you continuous delivery, and he's going to do a demo here in a second, but I wanted to show you some screenshots of that. So this actually allows us to see all the different environments or releases that we have in flight and how far it's gone down there. So it gives you like a heads-up display of have 5 or 6 different applications. I want to know where they are throughout the pipeline. I have different versions tracing each other because I have different feature sets. It's really a nice, rich UI that allows you to see exactly at a moment's notice where all your versions are and if they're in flight or not. So approvals is probably one of the best things, because if you look at our build system and you look at RM for short, release management system, they're almost identical. They use the same exact engine, they use the exact same agent, they use the exact same task. So why do you need two of them? Because this one adds two different concepts. One concept is an environment, and an environment is just a logical grouping of steps that I want to do right now, right? And I might want to have approvals before or after. It could be anything that you want it to be. It could be telling HockeyApp to distribute it to a larger group of testers, right? Because when we first released it, we only get it to our alpha testers. Now I'm happy with it. I give an approval. Please release this to a bigger pool. I don't have to go to the HockeyApp UI and click around and do anything. I can literally have it automated and say, hey, I approve this, and then we'll go back and talk to HockeyApp for you and say, it's time for you to let this go out to a bigger group of people. It'll then do what all of its magic, and then other people will be notified that it's available to them. So we're able to integrate HockeyApp with release management to give you a full DevOps pipeline. Again, we're talking mobile here, but you could do this for anything. So if you were doing a web application and you put it in your QA environment, your QA lead would be the approver, allowing it to leave that environment once they say, yes, this is good enough for production. And then once they give their approval, it would then move forward and start deploying it for you into the next environment. And again, it can be as long of a chain as you need to. So it's an extremely powerful feature and one of my favorite features of Visual Studio. So let's go take a look at it.
So let's do a little bit of a demo here on the release management.
Anyone using release management already while he's pulling this up?
That's cool. Pretty good.
How many of you are using the 2013 WPF Dungeon app? A couple of you guys? Get off of that and get on this as quick as you possibly can. This is freaking awesome.
So here we'll take a look at basically kind of the history of the release management. And the exciting part, at least for me, is the deployment. We'll actually take a pause here to do the...
Thanks, I appreciate that. So we're just going to go look at the marketplace
for, which is if you look in the top corner here, you'll see the little marketplace icon. Click on that icon. You can go to the Browse Marketplace, which will show you all of those extensions that exist for VS.
Type in Colin for us. She's going to love this when he sees this. That's the one we've been talking about, right? It's chock full of good stuff. So I have it installed on all my personal ones as well. A lot of good stuff in there.
Yeah. So for this Android deploy example that I have set up here, the idea for release management is it ties into the build tasks. So generally speaking, a lot of the steps can be automatically triggered by any of your build tasks that you already have set up. And so the story for this this demo is basically, like I said, if it's not in the customer's hand for production, you didn't deliver any value yet. And so this kind of replicates that scenario with as much automation as I would say we feel comfortable with in this example. And so the deployment to HockeyApp is, I think, critical. This is the equivalent of basically deploying a Gold Master version to a set of users. So when you have, say, a build task that's triggered off of a release branch, it's all automated. Just the merge to the release branch is all you need to do to trigger this process. Everything else becomes automated behind that. That produces the build, it does the signing for you, and then it goes into release management. Release management is going to kick off the deployment to HockeyApp. And now your stakeholders can actually go and install that version, make sure that it's actually what they were intending to release, maybe make sure that it looks like they want, maybe take screenshots of the actual software so that they can sync it with Twitter and marketing materials. And the ability to kind of validate that is quite powerful. But in release management, you can actually do the additional steps here. So if we take a look, you'll notice that we're also going to deploy a test release. In this test release, we're taking advantage of the build task to release to the Google Play Store. So this is going to automate that exact same build that happened in the previous step that was deployed to HockeyApp. After this step completes, it's then going to forward that build on and then do a second deployment into the Google Play Store. You can release this to the Google Play Store. This is automated. You can do it through the beta flighting of the Play Store so that you can do something like a percentage flight where you try it with just 10% of your customers to see how well the app's behavior, see if there's any crashes or exceptions that's occurring. And then finally, as the last step, you can actually do your production release to the Play Store automatically through release management. This deploys to the Play Store. It supports all of the update of like the release notes, all the packaging and the metadata that you're going to need for your release into the store. In addition to that, when we take a look at some of these tasks here, you'll see some of the triggers that we had. Here you can notice that it's basically a continuous deployment trigger. So this release task fires automatically on the completion of a build task that results in a change to the artifact source. And then down here we have environment triggers for each step of the way. Here you notice for the HockeyApp beta, it's automated after release creation. So we don't need any special configuration here, it just automatically triggers. Here the test step is also automated, but when we dig into the test step a little bit more, we'll actually notice that we've set an approval here as well. And so this approval process basically says that this is a pre-deployment approval. So before this deployment happens, this person must sign off before the approval happens. If they hit cancel, this entire release management stuff is thrown away and it goes back to the stuff. If they do hit approval, then it automates through the stuff. In addition to into just setting an individual person, you can also add a group of people here. If you add a group, then any one person from that group can sign off as an approval. And this really gets back to that stuff that we talked about at the start, which is people and process, right? Like, if you're doing deployment and you're doing something with significant impact to your business, like deploying to the customer, like the production store, you do probably want some level of process in place to ensure that the quality checks are there, that the safety mechanisms are there to allow you to release and do this automated pipeline while going as fast as possible, also having those kind of safety and guardrails in place to ensure that you can manage this accurately.
Correct. And I've noticed, too, that some people who are really confident in their ability to test automatically, our release system, should any of your tests fail, will simply stop itself and say, okay, this can't be good. Right? There is a way for you to override that and say, I want you to continue even if it fails, but generally we don't encourage that. And then it would just stop and say, hey, look, I'm not going any further. So if you have a lot of confidence in your testing and you know if they all pass, we are good to go, you can just simply have no approval beyond that step. But I always tell this story from the concept of, if I'm a QA lead and I'm in an environment, let's say not you talk about mobile, let's just talk about a normal web environment where I'm doing a lot of manual and exploratory testing, I can't have you just trouncing my environment every time there's a new release because it invalidates all my test results. So putting your QA lead as the approver to go into that environment, it allows our system to basically ask for permission and say, hey, look, I'd love to deploy these new bits. Can I? And you're like, no, because I'm in the middle of something, but I'm not going to reject this because eventually I do want these bits. You can actually schedule it and say, I know I'll be done by Friday, so Saturday night at midnight, you're free to go touch my machine. He can approve it at that very moment, go back to work, and by the time he gets in on Monday, there's a fresh new bit of code there for him to actually go off and work. It's an extremely flexible system that allows you to solicit that input when you need it, and also smart enough to be able to run completely wide open if you trust your automation that you have in place. And we have a question, sorry. Go ahead.
Just demonstrating the last part. We show off that basically here's our deployment. Here it's already been deployed and succeeded to HockeyApp, but it hasn't been deployed to the next two environments. It requires just a click of the approval button to trigger those.
Right, or reject. Stuff. You had a question?
So when they approve, are they approving a specific version, or do they just say, yeah, go ahead and deploy the latest one?
Oh, good question. So the question is, when they approve, are they approving a specific version, or are they just saying, take the latest one and deploy it? You are approving a specific version. Every time we generate a build, the way that he has it configured, we are also going to generate a release. That release will be tied to that build, and that is what you're approving. Now, the interesting question that comes up after that is like, well, what if I have 10 of them, and I only care about the latest one? You can literally reject the other ones and pick the one that you want, and that's the only one that goes, right? So you have that control and flexibility to go ahead and do that if you'd like to. Great question.
Yeah?
I'm going to give you a sticker for that great question.
Do you have a question?
No.
I'll let you fill that one.
Yeah, you can fill in as part of the task the additional like metadata that captures like things like screenshots and the release notes, the description, the official release version and stuff like that. You can fill that all in as part of the release task.
Is there like a follow-up process where it takes like a week for it to get approved?
So this is the submission to the product. Oh, sorry. The question was, is there a follow-up process for the approval to get into the store? And so this is the automating the act of submission to the store. You still then do have to go through the public store's submission review process. So if you're doing iOS, your app is released but not yet into the store. It actually still goes through the iOS standard process. So it's no different. It just automates the website portion of uploading and submitting your build. You'll still probably have to wait for the review process for all the public stores before it actually goes live.
I think Android is the only one that's kind of like a wild, wild west,
right? I think Android
pretty much as soon as you put it in there, everyone can get to it, but everyone else has an approval process. And we can't, we're trying our best, but we can't do anything about that. That's their requirement. All right. Sure.
Yeah.
How do you tie the version number back to the code that produced that build?
So if you notice, you can actually see the build that produced this release is encoded right in here. And so if I actually click on this build, it'll take me directly to the information for that specific build. The version number really gets into the, how you're doing your versioning of the like the binary stuff was that assembly versioning, which I did, which is I'm actually automating the process of extracting this build number. In this case, I was picking up the number on the end, one, and encoding that into my assemblies as well. So that basically means that the release that exists has a link to the specific build that happened that produced those binaries, and that build information is now packaged inside the application itself. So
they're linked, though. So the next question was, does the build have the change sets linked to it? Not in the name, but they're actually linked to the build. So if you have 15 different check-ins or commits with Git or change sets with TFVC, when he clicks that link to go back to the build, all of those will be linked so that you'll be able to associate them to this particular one. And that number that he showed you for the build, you're in complete control of that format. If you don't like what he just showed you, you can actually use macros to build a version number for the build that makes sense for you that you might take as in kind and just stamp it right directly inside of your mobile app so that there is no, okay, that part means this part. It's the same number, like for my build, for my release, for my APK. I know this is the one that is, they're united because of the name. So you have complete control over that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And as you're, I think you were mentioning, like for this specific build, you can actually see that the source version for the commit is right there. And you actually have the source, which is like the branch, right? So you could click right in here to get basically the source branch and commit hash to get back to the exact code that this build was triggered by, and basically the resulting build that happened, the resulting release that happened, and then the stuff. So the whole kind of audit trail from basically code to deployment is like all linked together.
And this is one of the reasons that I always say that if you can use all of it, I would, is because you get all this traceability for free. We just link it all up. That's just what we do. So when you were to replace us with Jenkins, our build system, then you're obviously going to have to do some work to get that linkage again, where if you just use all of us, it's just automatically there. So that's one of the pluses of just using the whole system. One more question. We're going to have to speed it up here a little bit, too. Go ahead.
With the approvals and
scheduling,
can you, for like a production environment, can you schedule that once it's approved, it always deploys after a
certain time? Okay, so the question is, can I actually have my approvals always go, can I have my releases always go on a schedule once they are approved? You can actually schedule the releases. So remember we were saying, this release knows to go as soon as it's created. This release knows to go whenever this guy has succeeded. You can also say, this release always goes at this time if there is one that exists. Yeah, so we can actually schedule it. Yes, for sure. Yes, what I would probably do, I probably still have a pre-approval there myself, but because you'd have to have the approval on there, but it won't go until it's scheduled to go, right? So question then is, what if you miss that window? It probably would go the next night, right? I'd have to go play with that one for you, though.
Yeah, I guess I'm more curious.
We can schedule them.
Day,
absolutely. We can actually...
If it's approved, it'll install at, you know,
right. Just like we do for nightly builds, we want a nightly build every night at 3 a.m. You can have a nightly release at whatever intervals you want. You can actually schedule that release to go out.
Great.
Okay. One more, and then we have a lot more slides. Say again?
The approval notification don't go out until you get that scheduled.
Okay, got it.
The approval notification for that release doesn't drop before
you. All right, we'll have to fix that. All right, so he was making a comment that if you schedule it to go out at 4 a.m., then the notifications don't go out till 4 a.m., right? Which obviously I'm not going to wake up. Hell, I might as well just do it manually at that point. All right, so I'll talk to our product team. That's good feedback. So I didn't think it worked that way, but I believe you, so I'll go talk to them and make sure that they should go out as soon as it's available and then do exactly what this gentleman wants here. That's good feedback. All right, so we got a double time, I think.
Continuous monitoring?
Continuous monitoring. All right, so continuous monitoring is basically delivering value. Remember, it's not about copying files. It's about copying delivering value. And to do that, we have to monitor the application. We have to get that custom telemetry and determine, did the functionality that we just add even be found, right? Because maybe I added this cool feature and no one's using it. We've all had that marketing guy running to our office, screaming up and down, the sky's falling, you got to stop what you're doing and add this new feature, it's going to make us $1 million. What do? We move heaven and earth, we add that new feature, and then we think that he did us a favor, right? But we don't know. Now, when he comes in my office, I actually add telemetry while I'm adding his new feature, so I can call BS on him next time he comes in my office. So that last feature you asked me to add, 7 people only used it. So I'm not stopping what I'm doing for a hunch. Right? Give me the numbers, show me the telemetry, give me the data that proves that this is going to be valuable, and then we'll go off and do it. And that's what monitoring actually gives you. We can do it with application insights for non-mobile applications, and for mobile, we can actually do it with HockeyApp and the integration now with Xamarin Insights inside of there as well. So again, we're focusing on mobile in this demo, but don't think that we can only do this there. If you want to do something like, what's the other one that a lot of people are using? It's New Relic, I believe it is. New Relic is a really popular tool that people use for monitoring. We don't care, right? We're going to build whatever you tell us to build. We're going to deploy it, and you're going to get that telemetry back, and you'll be able to determine, did we deliver value, or did we just rush software into production that didn't really add to our bottom line? That's the power of telemetry. We use it a lot inside of Visual Studio Team Services as well. We do a lot of A-B testing. Right now, you guys might be noticing there's a new user interface that you can go play with right now if you want to. We're actually collecting telemetry, letting us know, are people able to navigate that easier than our current one? And it's telemetry that's giving us that, right? It's really a powerful technique to determine, did we deliver value, or did we just copy files to a server? Okay. Same is true for mobile as well.
So I'll dive here into the bit of a demo here for continuous monitoring. A lot of this functionality is provided by HockeyApp for a mobile scenario.
We're still, okay, there we go.
So let's jump over to my example. So we'll take a look here at the Ignite demo. This is the app that people actually installed potentially with this. And I did get a nice little bump in user tracking. So if we take a look here at the user tracking, you'll see that we have a nice 56 users. So
sweet.
That's not a bad DAU here for my first release about 30 minutes ago. All of them brand new users.
Nice.
So we'll also take a look. It does look like the app was not super great because it crashed 36 times.
People like Mercedes.
So we can look. However, the advantage here is that HockeyApp's going to basically collect this data automatically for you, like you saw. So crashes are the number one cause of one-star reviews in the App Store. It is overwhelmingly, you cannot crash your app. It will destroy your reputation in the App Store. HockeyApp collects all those crashes and provides that information back to you. So you'll notice here, you actually see that we have the number one crash here, and you'll see the exception type is, oh, Donovan wouldn't drive that. So that's, that is the exception that gets thrown when you try to select a Mercedes as the best.
My mom bought a Mercedes, what, 4 months ago? I haven't been in it. I haven't spoken to my mom in 4 months.
So being able to drill down here really is powerful. I mean, what HockeyApp's going to provide to you is a usable stack trace. So if this is iOS native code, it's going to do the symbol location to go from machine code to a usable stack trace that's human readable for every crash, no matter where it happens. If this crash happens in the simulator, if it happens on your local device, if it happens on your dev team, your QA, or it happens in production, I definitely recommend you should pay attention to production ones the most. You're going to get that. HockeyApp's going to group these into crash groups. If you notice here, this crash group that happens for Donovan, it detected that the stack trace was the same, the exception type the same, and so it grouped them all together. And once again, because we're doing that user tracking, you're also going to get the impacted users. So here you can see that while there were 15 total crashes, they only impacted 12 individual users. So we can actually see. In addition to that, we're going to collect some metadata around things like the top affected devices, the top affected operating systems.
That's awesome.
For your application.
All right, I'm going to clap for that myself because that's freaking awesome.
The next feature around continuous monitoring is really that Donovan was mentioning, which is you really need to track user behavior. So if you're not paying attention to what features are actually being used in your application, it's really hard to do that build, measure, learn, agile lifecycle. Like, the learning part really requires you to measure the real activity. And in order to support that, HockeyApp really supports this idea of custom events and custom telemetry. And I tend to be a pretty big believer here that automatic collection of this stuff tends not to work very well. The events that you want to track are really domain specific. They're the events that happened in your app that you care about. And between you and maybe your product owner, like, you understand the actions that people are taking that matter to you. And you understand that the stuff that doesn't. And so I think it's really important to take some time to think about what actions and events that occur within your app really need to be tracked, and which can you gain insights and value from. And in this example, I actually instrumented that same application so we can find out, for example, who has the best team.
And also, you got to remember, logging and monitoring are not the same, right? This is tracking the activity of the user when all things are happy. I want to know what car they liked the most, not like logging information, like on what page they were on before this one and stuff like that. So it's really, make sure you distinguish between logging and monitoring when you're trying to put in your custom telemetry. A lot of people have trouble making that distinction, but we don't want to know exceptions that were thrown in this information. We have crashes for that, right? So don't just muddle those two together. I have customers who have a lot of struggle with that.
And taking a look at this audience, I'm very proud of this audience, so clap for you guys. Detroit Red Wings being the best team that shows up. I am a little bit shocked that only 33% of our users actually clicked that, so maybe the audience is a little bit overweighted on the voting here.
Yeah.
And then as that kind of, the last feature for continuous monitoring, like, you can do this diagnostic stuff. The really nice thing about custom events is they don't usually lie to you. If you got an event that a user took an action, he really did take that action. And so you can trust them that the users really do these actions that they take. However, we have a third feature right here that's also a little bit more subjective rather than objective, and that's really the feedback feature. And so if we take a look in our application.
It's like you had six already. This is what we hope people do, right? We always hear when stuff goes wrong, but with feedback, you can actually tell us when you see something that you like as well. You can also use it to say, hey, look, whenever I click this button, bad stuff happens. Or you could say, I really like this feature, and you should do more of this. So the feedback is a really powerful way to get that information.
Yeah, and that feedback really allows your development team to talk directly with your customer base. And so it really closes that loop to allow not just a single direction where your users send information to you, but actually a bi-directional communication. So you'll be able to collect feedback from your users. You'll be able to respond back to them in-app and actually see the response as it happens. So to demonstrate this, I'll actually click the little send feedback button that happens here. It's going to ask me for my information, but I'll just do it anonymously. And you'll actually notice that it automatically captured a screenshot. This is one of the features of the SDK to do the screenshot. And as some of the fancy features, we can actually mark up this stuff. So maybe you have some information that you'd like to obfuscate that's private information. Or maybe you'd like to highlight what it is that you're talking about.
Cool.
In which case, you can then save this image and then type in. And send that feedback. And so that feedback's going to basically be handled by the SDK automatically. It's going to be sent up to HockeyApp, and then it's going to allow your dev team to see and view that feedback directly. So if we take a look into the portal, you'll see that we already have some feedback. Here's the event that I just sent. This car should win. You notice that you can drill in. You can actually respond to your user right there in the thing. And as always, you can click that image to download. Oh, this screenshot seems to be
using Safari, man.
Yeah, it might be Safari.
Ugh.
But you can actually load up the image right there in the browser to do it. So this ability to do all of the levels of tracking from crash reporting and crash analytics down to the basic user tracking where you can compute new and returning users. You should be tracking DAU and MAU for your applications.
What are DAU and MAU?
They'll be daily active users and monthly active users.
Thank you.
If you want to get really fancy, you can divide the two and get your stickiness with the DAU over MAU.
Oh, nice.
And then in addition to that, you should set up a set of custom event telemetry to understand the behaviors that the users are taking that you care about and that you can gain insights from. And finally, just talk to your customers. The idea of like understanding the behavior that they take is always easier if they just talk to you and explain what they're trying
to do. Yeah, which you and I do quite a bit as product managers for Microsoft, which is why I use Twitter as a way to keep in contact with them. I have customer meetings today and tomorrow as well. So talking to your customers, there's no better way to find out what their true sentiment is. You can see it in their face if there's angst and there's pain in what they're dealing with. It comes across a lot more there. It's visceral, and it actually motivates you to go and do things about it. It's also great when you get great feedback from your customers in person, too. So no matter how much technology we give you to collect telemetry, go talk to your customers. It's the number one way we get our feedback. All right, so this is just some of our summary slides here. Basically, we want to automate as much as we possibly can, get the humans out of the way as quickly as we possibly can, use the tools to the best of their ability. One thing I want to say about VSTS is you can actually use as little or as much as you like. TFS and VSTS are here to stay. They are twins. One is 3 weeks, one is 3 months, right? That's the only difference between those two products. I want to just get to some Q&A here, too, so I just want to rush through these a little bit. All right, great. So if you want to go ahead and get started with Xamarin, Xamarin is for anyone who wants to write mobile and use C# as their design language. It's built inside Visual Studio now. It is available to everyone, no matter what edition of Visual Studio that you download. People have been really excited about that. I honestly didn't touch it until it became part of it, too. It was too expensive for me to play with, so I went with Cordova. But all the stuff that we just showed you worked with Cordova or React or however you want to write your mobile applications. Even if you've already started with Android Studio or Xcode, you can stay there and still do your development, still use the Xamarin Test Cloud, still use our build system, still use our release system. All that stuff still works. You do not have to use Xamarin. Obviously, we would encourage you to do so. But however you do your mobile development, all of the stuff that we've shown you today works. If you're not doing mobile development, everything that we just said are the same principles and DevOps best practices you should be applying regardless of what type of software you're using, all right, and what you're developing.
Are there SDKs for Cordova?
So the question was, is there SDKs for Qdoba? It's called Taco. Is what we, if you go to, I think it's Microsoft, is it taco.microsoft.com?
I cannot remember.
Can't remember, but there's
the coolest name in the
world. It is. It's like Tools for Apache Qdoba. That's right. Is basically what it is, okay. And it's a whole team at Microsoft who works on that. So there are integrations inside Visual Studio. They just added an integration to Visual Studio Code. So Taco's everywhere. Oh, I see. You see what you're saying. He's saying, can you use HockeyUp with Qdoba is his question.
Yes, there are HockeyUp yes. SDKs for Qdoba. They're actually supported by the third-party community. So they're wrappers.
Yes,
yeah, they're available. They're on GitHub.
Sorry, I misunderstood your question. All right, so good. So now we can ask all the questions that you want for the last, well, how many minutes do we have left? Like 5 minutes, so that's good. So who has some more questions? Right here. Great. So the question was, is the release management portion in VSTS? It is as of update 2. Right, so if you're running update 1 or the first version, it's not there. Update 2 will get you release management to the on-prem product as well. Over here? Got it. So the question is, how difficult is it to integrate with VSTS with other tools in the pipeline? Chef is one of our partners. We've actually been able to integrate with Chef very easily. We also do things with Puppet. We integrate really well with Jenkins. Matter of fact, at donovanbrown.com, I have a full CI/CD pipeline with Jenkins instead of our build system. We have all the REST APIs that you need to integrate us with anything. We also have service hooks and web hooks that you can actually leverage so that as long as the other guy is willing to play nice with standard APIs, we've already implemented them so that you can tie us together with that mechanism. Right here?
Repeat
the question real quick. Oh, yeah. So the question was, how much of that send feedback was you writing code that came from the SDK and Joshua?
Yeah, so I instrumented that by just handling the label tap gesture, and it's just one line of code to call the HockeyUp basically feedback manager, and that got the automatic screenshot capture. You can always integrate at a lower level. If you don't like our UI, then you can write your own, and you can use like kind of the core APIs for a more advanced scenario.
Okay, here. Can I, with release management, can I use the same release definition on different branches that is coming? Right. You can also export your definition as a JSON file and re-import it against those different build definitions, and then assign it to different branches. I think you can even clone like right in the UI nowadays. So you could build it. I believe that you can. I would look again and make sure. Oh, you're on-prem. Okay, make sure you have update 3. And you do? Okay, I'll go back and look for you. But it's already in VSTS, so eventually it will be for you. Like I said, that's one of the advantages of being in the cloud is that they get everything much quicker. But you can clone a def, right? And then at that point, just assign it to a different branch. Right here. Repeat the question before you answer
your question was, I think your question was whether or not HockeyUp detects missing features. So the reason why there's no send feedback on the Android is because I didn't build the specialized UI.
We ran out of time. Version.
So I ran out of time, so I just did it for the iOS for the demo.
All right, there's a question right here.
For the TFS version control, when you do the pull request, is it in comment line by line?
Okay, so the question is for the pull request, which will not work with TFVC, only works with the Git version control. Okay, can I comment every single line? Yes, you can actually put a comment on every single line and have a conversation. So when you comment, I can reply to that comment, and we can literally have an entire conversation about that pull request every single line if we wanted to. It's only on Git. Pull request is a Git concept. Question in the back. Okay, so it's a very similar question to the gentleman here. Is like, can I create a release definition that I can use across multiple branches? We are adding. Different projects? Well, you can actually export your release definition now as also save them as templates, which means I want to do this general thing multiple times, and then I can actually pick that as a template versus having to hand build it every single time. And again, you can still export and import them, so it's that you can just import them and then change the it would be the artifact if you're in release management that you're using to then go and deploy your application. Perfect. So the gentleman in the front is saying there's also an extension that you can actually add that will actually give you that clone, which might be why some people see it and some people don't. I already have that installed, clearly, and I didn't remember it came from an extension. I don't remember. Do you know the name of the extension? I don't remember off the top of my head. I would just search for release management in our marketplace that we showed you. I bet you it'll come up. Over here in the corner.
Can you use Xamarin test files with
Can you use Xamarin Test Cloud with websites? You can use it to test a website from a mobile device. So if you wanted to use Safari on an iPhone to hit your web app, yes, right? So they all have internet access, and you can do that. So for example, Perfecto Mobile does that a lot on their phones as well. They literally, people fire them up just to get to the browser, just to see if that browser will see their website correctly. So yes, you could do that type of testing. No, and I wouldn't need to. If I were you, I would use something like Selenium, right? And you don't even need a test cloud. It's all for free, right? So just use Selenium testing or Coded UI, and then fire those up on your agent, and we'll happily go and run those for you as well. Let me get him, and I'll come back to you. Go ahead. Okay. So the question is how does VSTS handle disaster recovery? Or basically, you're asking about rollback, right? The rollback functionality is being added to release management. We had it in the old gray one that you had already. We're basically adding that same functionality in the cloud. A lot of us going forward are using feature flags, however, right? That's how we do it in VSTS. Oh, go ahead. You're shaking your head. Oh, my goodness. Okay, you're not even talking. I got it. So the question is, I've had a guy go into VSTS, delete an entire team project that I wish he hadn't deleted. I'll have to get back to you on that one. I don't know. Now, yeah, we have a talk with that gentleman is the first thing we do. And we remove all of his permissions to do that ever again. That's the second thing that we do. Yeah, but I'd have to find out if there's a way to restore that. Yeah. We're losing everybody here, but thanks so much, guys, for coming, and I hope that was helpful. You can come to the stage for all your feature questions.
You guys
thanks.
Can grab some stickers, too, off the speaker here. Yeah. Help yourself.
You got to earn those. I only gave them out if you asked a good question.
Yeah, sure. Selenium, they integrate pretty
heavily. Which one?
Selenium and TFS.
Yes. Yeah, you can run Selenium test. Actually, I have a lot of blog posts on that, too, on donovanbrown.com. Yeah, and you can actually integrate that with our Coded UI, too. You can use them interchangeably. We're working on that too. It's a Windows thing, so we're working on that too. Yeah. Oh, okay, so the question, that's a good question. If I'm using VSTS in the cloud, how in the world do I deploy on site? All you have to do is install your agent on site. We don't care where the agent lives. It can live in Azure, it can live on your own-prem. You register with VSTS, and when it comes time to do the deployment, when you're setting up your release, you can actually say, for this environment, I want you to use this agent specifically that I know is on that machine, and then it'll literally just go down onto your machine and do whatever you want us to do.
Is there any plan in future to be able to enable build in the cloud and deploy on-prem?
Well, that scenario I just said will work, and we also are changing the architecture such that the agent, remember in the old release, you installed the agent on the machines you wanted to deploy to? We're going back to that. It's going to be more of an octopus deploy kind of tentacle methodology, such that the machines already have the agent on them, and they will pull all whatever bits they need to, regardless if they're on-prem or in the cloud.
So if I want to do this, because we deploy on-prem, but we want to build in the cloud.
Sure. You can do that today, is what I'm saying. You can do that right this second. Their Microsoft rep is wrong. That's not true. Take the agent that we have today, right now, I could go do it, install it on that machine, go into release management and say, for this environment, I want you to use that agent. Build it in the cloud, it will deploy it onto that machine. I've done it dozens of times. The guy is just incorrect. Whoever told you that? Can that machine see the internet? Then yes, it'll work. As soon as, if you can register that agent with VSTS, you're done. Right, everything else will magically work for you. If you can't, then you don't have line of sight to that machine, and there's nothing we can do for you. Right, so that's the only thing that you need to do, but I've done exactly what you're asking to do. All right, perfect. Good deal. Okay. Understood.
Do you have any kind of resource that gives a deep dive how to configure CI, CM, CD,
I do. So, are you on Twitter?
I can't.
Someone get there and then ping me, and I will send you the list of my page of all the videos. I have an MVA on that. I have courses on Wintellect now on that. Yeah, so that information is already freely available. We also have Channel 9 series specifically on release management. We teach you everything, me and David Tessar. So that information you're looking for is available. Just I'm at Donovan Brown on Twitter. Just shoot me a tweet, hey, Donovan, can I get that information? And I'll send you a URL, and you will have more information than you can comb through.
Appreciate you.
No problem, man. It's so simple, and it's free. I should have said that. VSTS is free. Like you can go. Everyone who was in here could go create one right this second and just start playing with everything that we've shown you, right? So it's really good.
Free, and Azure, and is you get the approval to sync your Active Directories, and then all you have to do is link the STS to your company domain.
That sounds great, but it doesn't.
Well, they wouldn't be able to unless they had an agent on that on-prem server that you've actually registered for them. Correct. So again, then at that point, they would have to have firewalls open. They'd have to have that agent would have permissions to push onto that machine. You have complete control over what that agent can and cannot do.
So we have to configure discrete agents for the individual.
You can. That's what I would do. Yeah, that's what I would do, and that will work for you. You have a question? Oh, go ahead.
So, first time you had you taught before.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So, when is your
Actually, I'm not going to be in the booth, but if you're at Starbucks tomorrow at 2:30, I'll be free. Because I have like meetings all the way up into there. I'm going to just be hanging out in Starbucks. So I have one already from 1 to 2, 2 to 2:30. If you get there at 2:30, then you just pull me aside and we'll have a chat. All right, sounds good.
So NPM versus Test Hub. I mean, are you recommending Test Hub to be the new?
Yes.
Because I think it's interesting.
Yes.
How long are you going to support NPM? And
not much longer. It's like...
Whoa.
Oh, I thought you were trying to tell me not to say that. But hey! Yeah, not much longer, right? I think what we have right now is what you're going to get. There will be no more additional investments in that product. So it is basically, that's it. We're not investing anymore in there. We're taking all the functionality that is in there and we're bringing it into the cloud. We already started moving with the exploratory testing inside of the Chrome extension. We're also bringing that extension over to Edge as well. So that you can do all the exploratory testing, which is, I think, the biggest value of that tool. Because the planning, you can do that anywhere. And they've already moved a lot of that into the cloud already. So yes, the test cloud is where you want to be. At Donovan Brown, D-O-N-O-V-A-N.